B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The lineup is already booked. Who are we talking? You're our hero. Cascade. Diplo. Rick Ross. Flo Rida. DJ Carnage. And my boy Blau.
He knows me well.
Okay. Maybe we call an audible, but just for this year. You heard him. We're taking our talents to South Beach. Now named Grind Beach. It's going to be the wildest big game weekend party ever. Hands down, ever. You guys ready for the first Grind Beach party ever? Get your tickets now before they sell out. GrindBeach.com. See you there.
Some of you thought he was coming back.
What idiots.
Don't you feel like you've been used? How do you feel about that?
Let's go back to the Carson Wentz.
You want to follow up your Carson Wentz real quick?
Yeah, you know, since he's the greatest quarterback ever, so far this year, Carson Wentz is 18th in passer rating in the NFL, which would make him mediocre, which is what I called him. He is barely ahead of Kyler Murray. Those quarterbacks that he's behind in passer rating include Marcus Mariota, Gardner Minshew, Case Keenum, Jacoby Brissett, Jimmy Garoppolo, Matt Ryan, and Teddy Bridgewater.
Mass?
Yes. Sorry, I wasn't paying attention.
Don't mention his name in the same breath with Jimmy Garoppolo, please.
Yes, correct. Don't ever mention his name in the same breath.
I don't know. They kind of looked the exact same the other night. Look, I thought I was watching Jimmy versus the Seahawks.
Two items. One is you said that's the way he's looked all year.
Yes. Factoring in the adjustment for the Patriots being a good defense.
Oh, so that was going to be my next question. The next question was, you don't think the Patriots did much to affect him. He just sucks. That's what the Patriots adjustment looks like.
74. Against a mediocre defense, then he probably would have been around 90.
So he was worse than normal for him.
Correct, because the Patriots are better.
Okay, well, then we agree. He was worse than normal.
He still stinks.
But it was
defense adjusted.
Yep.
It was.
It's the DVOA, right? My own personal DVOA.
It was the defense and not the weather, which, fine. I mean, I believe in the Patriots' defense. They had a legit performance. But I'm not sure how we got on that. But either way.
Because you started being a jerk. It's normal.
Back to your calls. I just started being a truth teller. David Lynn, your thoughts on Gronkowski. Hi, Dave.
Yeah, I think more than anybody that should be taking this negatively is his ex-teammates, the guys he used to play with. And if Tom Brady didn't know, and even if he did, I'm sure he's not real happy, because especially with the drop-off in the offense recently, with the timing of this coming out right around Brady's displeasure with the offense and stuff, it's really poor. Again, a reflection on his ex-teammates and Tom Brady.
So, Dave. I haven't gotten on that part of it because I'm going to assume.
Oh, he told them, for crying out loud. Brady knows he's not coming back.
Thank you. That they knew. All right. So don't tell me he was screwing them around like us. Okay. So, and I don't think that he was. I think the team knew the score and knew he wasn't coming back.
I mean, Belichick was joking about it, for crying out loud. So Bill knew that he wasn't coming back.
This is just purely how he carried himself publicly. You know, and Maz brought this point up yesterday. It was an excellent point. You know, through a lot of his PR tour for the CBD stuff, he talked very seriously about a very serious topic about head injuries and, you know, borderline depression and what the game was making him do and the places that it took him. And he sort of spoke from the heart and broke up a couple times. And I thought there was some good, meaningful stuff in there, some powerful stuff. But then to turn around a week later and say, hey, I might be coming back. Like, it's just...
He belittles it.
Do you want us to take you seriously or not?
Yeah, he belittles it. So that's a part of it that I don't like. It's like, come on, Gronk. But I would also say to fans, like, the day he did that, I took him at his word. I thought that was an authentic press conference. I thought that Gronk truly had some of these issues. And he's feeling better about himself. So he's away from football, and that's good. So what I would say on the same side of it is, look at it for what it is. If you are a fan... And you saw what it did to this guy? Don't ask him to come back.
Yeah,
hold on, Adam. Go ahead.
Do you think that you don't think there's any chance that maybe everyone from the Patriots just left Gronk alone? No one said anything to him. No one inquired.
Yeah.
But they possibly, in the back of their mind, they're like, you know, maybe it's possible that he decides by the deadline. And then They hear about this announcement. They make calls. So what's the deal with the announcement? They hear it's, you know, it's a party. And then all of a sudden you hear these AB rumblings. You don't think there's any possibility that, you know, they're intertwined?
I think there's a possibility they're intertwined.
Yeah. I do too.
I think it's possible.
I mean, they get the same agent, don't they?
So, look, did the Patriots know for 100% certainty? Maybe not, but all I'm saying is I don't think the Patriots rode that emotional
right, they weren't waiting with bated breath.
The Brady post of, all my receivers, does this thing still work? It's not like Bill was going, ooh, did you see Instagram? You know, he didn't treat it like a fan. But maybe the door was still open in their mind at some point when they realized. And maybe, you know, again, the Antonio Brown thing, folks, might be for real, which is just, to me, again, stunning. Staggering.
I mean, it tells you where they are if they're thinking about that. Okay, if they are seriously thinking about bringing him back, what a mistake.
Here's another social media item from Adam in Brighton. Go ahead, Adam.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. So something that nobody has really started talking about, I don't know if it's just because it's really new or if no one's really noticed it. So I think Brady kind of started doing this last season, and this is kind of in relation to like his attitude and what he's doing. You know, if he wants to light a fire up everybody to get people motivated and help with the offense, you know, there's better ways to do it than the way he's going about it now. And I think no one's really noticed that. I think he started doing this last year. Every week after a game, when they win, he posts a little selfie video on Instagram with a W, and it's like him talking to himself. Like, he's done it every week this year, and he did it. I remember after the Giants game when he actually didn't have that great of stats as a throwing, but after the Giants game,
hey, Adam,
he had two rushing.
Can I stop you?
Yeah.
So what you're saying is that he posts this victory Instagram post after every win, but he hasn't done it this week.
Yeah, and he just posted like a few hours ago, like a focus thing, and so many people are commenting, being like, "Where's the W video?" It's just very strange he would do that.
So he posted another kind of video. This is what we have
it's
to
not
do.
Not a video.
Now.
It's just him in that awesome camo coat that he had on the other day, and it just said something like "Victory" or something like that. That's all it said. Or I don't know what it was, but the caller's right. And someone brought this up to me yesterday. I said to you guys during a commercial break, after the first 8 wins, there was usually some goofy "Let's go" type of video. We got another
with
one.
Their kid, was, yeah, with his son, yeah,
and there hasn't been one. So now it's just a sulking Brady in that great camo Canada Goose cat, just like coat, just like walking off the field.
Well, he did shoot the double sausage emoji at Antonio Brown today in his apology to Kraft, so he's still on there.
He's still
like,
on it.
It's not like his phone's not working.
Non-stop likes for all things Antonio Brown.
And the post for Brady has one word. It says focus. Doesn't say victory. It says
that's
focus.
What it is. Focus.
Focus.
Okay, so
it feels like a message to the offense, if you're asking me.
So annoying.
Try to focus because I'm surrounded by crap.
He's the oldest player in the league, and we still have to follow him like he's a 13-year-old girl like the rest of them on the freaking Snapchat. It's just, God, it's freaking annoying. Adam's,
somebody needs a sausage emoji.
Adam's in the car. Go ahead.
One of the things that Bradad said earlier was that the like major issue on this team's offense is the speed. And I mean, like, I honestly think that like they are really slow, and I'm not going to argue that point. But like, it seems to me that like their problem is more in the red zone than it is like between the 20s. And like, speed is really not going to be much more of a factor in the red zone. I mean, it is, but like not as much. And like, I think that like all these issues would be, you know, a moot point if the offensive line was playing the right way and they were running the ball the right way.
Well, Adam, you make a nice point. Speed is mitigated in the red zone. That seems to be the bulk of their offensive problems. I would agree with that. And I would say, as someone who's sort of an anti-running guy, I would like to have one sort of amendment to that. And I think is inside the 5-yard line, you got to be able to run some in there. And I think it's really a problem if you're first and goal at the 4 and you run 3 downs out of the shotgun in the spread. I've seen, again, the Packers do this. I've seen when teams do that, I say there's something not right. And you've got to, inside the 5, you know, and ideally inside the 10, but I'm realistic. Inside the 5, you got to run at least once. And you got to have some confidence that you might score on it. And if you can't, that's a problem. And I think that's a problem on this team. First and goal at the 4 the other day, 3 passes. Right? So do you...
They know they can't line up and run it.
So do you blame them for not calling the runs there? Or are they right to concede they can't run it down there?
Against that... Well, no, I think they should have run it. I mean, I think there were some signs in this game, especially when they had Lacoste as the inline tight end. I thought they did some okay things. You know, under center, running straight ahead. Just don't run outside the tackles and the tight end. They can't do it. They can't get to the second level and pick off linebackers. It's just a disaster. But, you know, as far as the offense in general, just looking at Sharp Football, they rank 26th in explosive plays on offense. 26th. I mean, most of it has to do with the run game. Like, those explosive plays, the plus 10s in the running game, have just evaporated because they can't block on the second level this year. But they're only 15th in passing. Like, normally they're in the top five every year.
You got to run it down there no matter what.
Okay, but the explosive plays, I'd like to know if that translates. Like,
it trust me, metrics inside that building, other NFL buildings, they want to be explosive on offense. It's a big metric.
Meaning, but what I'm saying is...
chunk plays.
Do a proficiency in chunk plays translate to championship success?
Well, I mean, I can't tell you that right now, but...
No, I know,
all I can tell you is it's very important to offensive coordinators and head coaches how explosive they are, whether they limit explosive plays on defense.
Oh, for sure that, but...
Oh, but making explosive plays doesn't matter?
On offense, I wonder
if it
doesn't.
Easier. It makes it easier. You score quicker. You put up more points. All that stuff.
I don't know. I'd like to see
what
the data.
You don't know.
I don't know. I'd like to see the data on that. Like, there's, for example, Kerry Byrne and his passer rating differential. He's backed it up with year after year of passer rating differential translating to teams that go deep in the playoffs. So I see it. I see the numbers in front of me.
Yeah, but that's factoring both sides of the ball. You're talking about, like, you know, the plus minus difference between explosive plays on defense and offense. Okay,
nope.
Maybe. But if you're just looking at offensive explosive plays, there's not going to be a correlation because you're leaving out the entire other side of the game. With defensive passer rating, you're factoring both sides of the game.
Okay, so maybe explosive play differential. But even just on offense, is it important to be an explosive offense?
I can just tell you from the Patriots, it's important. That's exactly why they went out and got Brandon Cooks. And it's one of the reasons why why Josh is pulling out these trick plays is to manufacture some explosive plays.
I personally don't care.
You can't go 5 yards. I know you love it, Felger. I know you love these guys who run 4.9 into 40 and are 6'5", but you can't play NFL offense getting 4 yards a pop in the passing game. You can't.
I like second and six and then third and one. I do.
You can't make a living that way.
I'm pretty consistent about it.
This is exactly why Belichick talks about Jake Bailey and how good he was, back him up to the 5 yard line. The percentages of you going 95, 90 yards time after time just aren't good. You need explosive plays to make up for that.
I don't know about that. Honestly, I think those explosive offenses are overrated. Get your safeties
back.
Yes,
if your defense sucks.
Get your safeties back, and there goes that explosive
offense.
Then you
can offense. Run it down their throat and play ball control. That's the whole point, that you can play. You want to play both ways on offense. Right now, they can't play either way.
I just think the whole thing has more to do with making the defense respect it. In other words, if they know that you can go to the house on a play, then they might not be as aggressive.
Right. I want to look at it. I want to look at the Patriots' 9 Super Bowl appearances.
Can't wait for your
and where they ranked in explosive plays offensively. I guarantee you in 2001, they couldn't have been anywhere near the top. 03, 04, probably not much better. Somehow they won 3 of 4 without being explosive. So, no, I don't buy the explosive thing. Sorry, big boy. Questions with Bedard right after this?
Felger and Maz.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Maz.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
You want the answer? You've got to ask the question.
Do you have an opinion based on if you had to go with your gut, which way it would go?
Sometimes you have to ask it over and over and over again.
Why?
This is 10 Questions with Greg Bedard and Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, 10 questions, 10 minutes. We got to be quick. What are our buzzer options this week, please?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, Mr. Happy Pants. Moisten the balls in Colorado and Arizona, places like this, because of altitude, they would dry them out to deaden them.
Apparently Arizona is a bad place for that, too.
Right. Hosts aren't listening. Go.
Do you think he's coming back?
I'm horrible predicting the future. No, I don't.
I'm asking your
opinion. I don't.
No, he's
no,
not.
No shot.
Here we go again. I don't like predicting the future. Next.
Who am I going to play? Am I not going to play?
There's Gronk, yeah.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Stop searching. Go to a website. Okay, there it is. Hit it, Jimmy. Stop searching. Go to a website. Number 10, fill in the blank. The 90s Cowboys were... ...
the last vestige of the pre-salary cap NFL era.
Wow. Well, that is the most boring answer I've ever heard in my life.
Well, I'm just telling you. I mean, they won a Super Bowl 2 years. So that group was basically together with Jimmy Johnson through 93.
Yep.
Salary cap came in 94. They won one under Switzer, but there's no way you can't recreate the triplets and all that again. That offensive line, there's no way.
Explosive.
Ah!
On the field and off. Every way imaginable.
Obnoxiously good. From 92 to 96, I expect them to basically win every game, and they were so good they won a Super Bowl with the aforementioned Barry Switzer, who was a Yahoo.
The 90s Dallas Cowboys were epic underachievers. Underachievers.
I knew you were going to say that.
You have that kind of talent. They only made 4 conference title games, and that was it. They all blew their brains out, whether it's on drugs or ego or whatever, to have that collection of talent on both sides of the ball. And if you include Jimmy Johnson on the sidelines, you compare that with, you know, your run, certainly, but the Niners or the Packers or the 60s or the, you name it, to only get 4 real years out of that collection, they underachieved.
Oh, they were good too. They were loaded.
And what obnoxious, they were obnoxious and out of control, and they got ultimately what they deserved, which is a shortened run. Next.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going
to
do?
Number 9, who would you rather have as quarterback to build your team around? Lamar Jackson or Dak Prescott?
Prescott, because he's more transferable between offensive systems and more predictable.
Jackson. Second year in the league. He's only been quarterback 18 games. Why are we writing him off? How many years has Prescott been in the league? Jackson. I'm taking Jackson.
Jackson. Kid's getting better by the week.
Prescott. More accurate. Next.
Am I going to play? Am I not going to play?
Early bonus tool bag question. Who was the biggest tool bag coming out of the Colin Kaepernick workout this weekend? The league, Kaepernick, or someone else?
The league, just for setting this whole thing in motion, like in the middle of the season, like on a Saturday when games are being, I mean, it's just stupid.
I mean, I say the league purely for including the clause that he would have to forego any future litigation. What a weaselly dink move that was. Either you want to have the tryout or not. And I'm not telling you Kaepernick was any better. But, you know, if the whole thing was about avoiding future litigation, you suck.
They both suck, but Kaepernick, he made a big deal about working out for the teams. They set it up for like 25 teams. Last minute, he insists on having his own film crew, whatever the hell it was, and he didn't get his way, so he pulls out. He didn't want to play. It's about him.
Okay, they all suck. I'm not telling you the league's good, but I go Kaepernick there, the bigger tool bag. So tell him you won't sue him. You've already sued him. You've already collected millions of dollars. Do you want to play ball or not? It's really hard for me to believe you actually want to play ball when you rip your prospective employer and wear a t-shirt saying you're a slave. Like, I don't know how you're going to endear or get a job. If I were going for a job, I would not be calling the people I want to work for slave owners. So Kaepernick is the bigger tool bag in that situation. Next.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right, Tommy, and I'll ask the rest of you. If Kaepernick were to come back, where would be a good fit? Give me a good team for him.
Whichever team Greg Roman is the head coach for next year, which could be the Panthers, because he's the only coordinator who he's had success with. So you need a guy that can, you know, scheme around him.
I mean, I have a bunch of them, but ultimately I settled on the Rams. Like, put him with McVay, put him in L.A.,
nice,
and McVay will get the most out of him. So, you know, again, he wants to run anyway, I think, on some level, and Goff blows.
Yeah, I'm with Greg, wherever Greg Roman is, because he got the best out of him in San Francisco with the Niners.
Okay, I'd go Baltimore, similar skill set to the guy that's playing, so you don't have to change the offense. And Harbaugh factor, maybe there's a rub off there with the brothers. Next.
Do you think he's coming back?
I'm horrible predicting the future. No, I don't.
I'm asking your opinion.
I don't.
No, he's
no,
not.
No shot.
So I came around to it. Number 6. Greg, we haven't gotten your thoughts on the Myles Garrett incident from last week. If any developing opinions, should Mason Rudolph also have been suspended? That's what I wanted to ask you.
I thought everyone came off poorly in this. The league, I thought they over-suspended him. I don't see why it was...
Over-suspended Garrett?
Yep. I mean, that Haynesworth got 5 games in 2006. You know, give him 6. Give him 7 or 8. Not indefinitely the record, you know, people are talking about in the next season. I mean, come on, let's be real. He lost his cool in the moment. This is a guy who hasn't been suspended before. He lost his cool. He was provoked the entire time. And, you know, I don't want to hear any stuff about, oh, well, you need to make sure that other players don't do this again, or what about the children? I mean, Haynesworth got suspended for 5 games. We didn't have another incident like that for 13 years, okay? People are adults. The children will be okay. They realize that's bad. You know, Garrett was obviously wrong. I thought Baker Mayfield came off poorly. I thought his post-game on-field interview was probably not well-received in that locker room, being more Baker out on his own, separate from his team, make more commercials, all that stuff. So I just thought everybody came out poorly in it.
Okay, I'm just going to leave it right there. The big boy had a take. Next. Moisten the balls in Colorado and Arizona, places like this, because of altitude, they would dry them out to deaden them.
Apparently Arizona is a bad place for that, too.
Right. Number five, the real tool bag question. Biggest tool bag cowboy of all time. So many to choose from.
T.O. He was just, especially with the Cowboys, he was the worst. He was a drama queen. There was, every week there was something else with that guy. Ugh, hated him.
I mean, he's an easy one. I picked him last week. I'm going Thomas Hollywood Henderson.
Oh, tool bag.
He was a complete tool. A lot of people won't remember him. He was before their time. He played when I was a kid. Tool. Can't spell Thomas without T-O, tool.
Yeah, it's T-O. I never really despised Terrell Owens as much as other people, but he was at his petulant worst with the Cowboys. And then, that's my quarterback. Oh, like, that was the that was the low point.
Okay, I'd go Jerry Jones there. Next. Stop searching. Go to a website. Favorite cowboy of all time, number four.
Emmitt Smith. I mean, he was the running back for my favorite college team, UF. You know, but I will say, Emmitt might have been a little bit overrated because that was one awesome offense and offensive line that he ran behind. I think a lot of people could have done what Emmitt did.
He was overrated, totally.
And I love Emmitt.
So, again, I'm going back to my youth. I'm sorry. Tony Dorsett. I loved Tony Dorsett when I was a kid. Like, that's where the real romance is. All the guys from, you know, when I'm an adult, I think they're all a-holes.
Jay Novacek, I think, is the most overlooked player from that 90s dynasty. Picked up seemingly every third down that Aikman threw to him, and it was all about the triplets then, Aikman, Smith, and Irvin, but Novacek was just as important to that team.
Roger Staubach. That's like, that was the, you know, that was
class guy.
Captain America.
Joe Winner, Captain America. Montana, Brady, Staubach. Like, he's one of
the more underrated quarterbacks in league history.
Underrated winners in league. All those winning stats that we bring up with Brady and winning percentage in this. Look, Staubach's up the top at a lot of those. Staubach would be mine. Next.
Oh, am I going to play? Am I not going to play? Oh.
When you see Philip Rivers throw 4 interceptions like last night, what's your takeaway? We'll start with Murray.
The worse that Philip Rivers plays, the more it ensures that the L.A. Chargers are going to be vying for the services of Tom Brady in the offseason. Rivers is up at the end of the year, as evidenced by last night. Rivers is cooked. He's done. Brady hates it here more by the week. He's also a free agent. Chargers come calling first day of free agency, 2 years, $60 million fully guaranteed, and Brady takes his talents to L.A.
Panel?
Quick. Oh. My big takeaway was, how does Tom Brady look in powder blue?
Okay, there we go. Next. Ding.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
5 of San Francisco's last 6 games are this. You ready? Home Green Bay, at Baltimore, at New Orleans, home Rams, at Seattle. What will be their final record? They're 9-1, obviously, right now.
I have them at 11-5.
Whoa.
They're going to win 3. They're going to lose 3 of those 5.
Oh, yep. You guys are dumb. 13-3. They're going 13-3.
10-6. Only wins the Rams.
Well, they also have, they got one stink bomb in there that I can't remember which one it is. But, no, they're a 12-4 football team, and they'll be out of the bye by the time the season is over. That is a killer stretch down the final month.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, Tommy, last one, number one. The NFL is announcing its all-time teams starting this Friday. Belichick will be a part of those NFL Network specials. They look pretty cool. They're starting with the running back position. Who do you think is the greatest running back of all time? And if you just want to say in your lifetime and leave out Jim Brown, I think that's fair because we didn't see him, but who's the greatest running back of all time or just your lifetime?
I want to say Jim Brown, but to me it's Barry Sanders. He was the most talented running back I've ever seen. And if you put him between, like, say, behind the Cowboys line, he would have been insane. He was on terrible Lions teams, and he was still the best back in the league.
So I'll be quick. I looked up the list of all-time leading rushers, and I thought, what an idiot. This guy won't win it, but he should, and he could have. Bo Jackson. He was awesome. Awesome. Without the hip injury,
and
he's the best thing I've ever seen back there.
Barry Sanders. Nobody was as elusive as Sanders, and he had the most natural ability I ever saw.
Walter Payton. I like a bigger guy. I would have put Earl Campbell on that list. Power, speed, Talk about carrying an offense for a time. Walter Sweetness. Walter Payton is the answer to that question. This concludes 10 questions. Update, then right back to your calls, I promise.
How has Tom done in terms of recognizing where the team's strengths lie and playing to those strengths as a quarterback this year?
Yeah, I think Tom's very aware of just the overall matchup of the game. I mean, there's some games just you can see are on a different track than other games. Some games, you know, you know you're going to have to score a lot of points to win. And other games, you know that, you know, if you don't turn the ball over and don't, you know, give easy opportunities to our opponents, that they're going to have a hard time winning. And that's sometimes that's the way the game goes. I think he does an excellent job of recognizing the flow of the game. And that can change, you know, from quarter to quarter or half to half or with a possession or two in the fourth quarter at a critical time. But I think he does an excellent job of recognizing that and playing to it.
That's Bill Belichick yesterday endorsing Tom Brady as a game manager. And I think Tom Brady's the greatest game manager in the history of sports, and I don't say that derisively. I like game managers. When Bill Belichick's my coach, you know what I want my quarterback to do?
Game manage.
Manage Bill Belichick's game.
Well, that's really what Belichick does, right? Is he manages the game.
I want them to measure, to manage 6'5" receivers that run 4.2 and big running backs. You know, your favorite NFL offense.
I want them to do whatever it takes, and I will stand by it. I think these I thought your offense when you had this the 07 team did, you know, I did not get all horny for that team like everybody else did. I think those teams meet their maker eventually. I think it's pretty easy to actually game plan against those explosive teams. And I say easy, I mean, I just think those teams usually meet their end. The teams that are good on defense and are balanced offensively, and I don't mean like running the ball, but I mean spread the field sideways, are accurate passing, you control the ball. Like, I think those teams travel. I think the high-flying, quote-unquote, explosive teams usually meet their end.
Correct. But it's optimal to have a balance of everything. Especially, you got to have an explosive element, a consistent explosive element in every game. Well, and this team is lacking.
Then they should have gone after Manny Sanders and not Mohamed Sanu.
Don't think they thought he was, quote-unquote, explosive. I'm just telling you.
Manny Sanders not explosive?
Yeah, I think they view him as more of a inside slot possession guy.
Oh, but he's
just a little quicker.
He's so much quicker than Sanu. I mean, I don't know. I watch Sanders play, and I think he runs well. And Sanu's not as much, but I like Sanu. I'll take Sanu any day of the week.
I mean, comparatively, Sanders is more explosive. He's a more dynamic player. Sanu sucked on Sunday. That's not getting a ton of attention. You know, he was awful. He did nothing in this game.
Okay, back to your calls, as promised. Tim and Quincy. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, guys, I don't care about Gronk. I just care about Isaiah Wynn. They will not win with Fat House on the left tackle. I've never seen a worse left tackle in the whole Patriots last 20 years. You cannot make up and put tight ends to protect him. He's just an absolute liability.
Tim, again, I'm sorry for cutting you off, but let's just stick with that point. Isaiah Wynn coming back. Boy, they're putting a line on him.
Seriously. He better be a combination of Bruce Armstrong and John Hanna, the way people are thinking about the impact. Is he going to help things? Yes. But there are still a lot of issues. And I don't mean to be a complete downer on the offense. You know, but they need some more. And a left tackle is not going to help that much. I'm sorry. It's just not. And if you're hoping it is, be prepared to be underwhelmed.
I'll tell you, because I think Bill is, or the way Bill's selling it, I think Bill sold it to Romo in those production meetings because Tony Romo's going off on CBS about, you know, just wait and look at what happens when Isaiah Wynn comes back. It's all going to be different. And I think that's Romo's getting that from his buddy Bill.
Definitely. Again, they hyped the crap out of Wynn on Sunday night.
So I think internally they're expecting a lot out of this guy. Can Wynn play?
When he is on the field, he is a very good left tackle. Yes. Can he stay on the field?
Okay. We've got Matt and Quincy with a thought on the Cowboys. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, guys. How's it going? So I'm a big Cowboys fan. I've watched every game for like 10 years now. I think this week they will give them some trouble, the Patriots. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I think the Patriots offensive line needs to worry about Quinn, who's actually playing out of his mind right now, and DeMarcus Lawrence, who's starting to pick up things too recently. And also you have Bennett obviously coming after the quarterback, and he's probably going to fire under his butt from leaving the Patriots. And on offense, I really think Dak Prescott's starting to come into his own. The only thing that Patriots fans need to worry about, which is the biggest thing, is Jason Garrett, who is just atrocious. He does not know how to manage games. He loses at least two games a year for the Cowboys. And if it wasn't for him, I would say the Cowboys have a really good chance.
Right.
Since he's the coach, they don't.
Matt, this is one of those games where you say, switch the coaching staffs.
Mm-hmm.
Switch the coaching staffs. And is it even close?
No, I think Belichick wins with Dallas if he continues with that team.
Yeah, right? I mean, yeah. So maybe it's close. But, I mean, you know what I mean. Like,
yeah.
We can scout and handicap their D-line versus your O-line. And watch out for Michael Bennett this week. I think that's a fair point. He's just the kind of guy to, you know, get up for a game like this. So you could match up their, you know, the lines. You can match up their skills players against your, you know, and say edge to depth. But are those Dallas players going to be put in a position to succeed on a consistent or more consistent basis than you guys being put in a position to succeed? And people too often leave that out of the analysis.
Oh, it's a great equalizer. Again, Garrett's totally overmatched. Because really, Dallas should control the line of line of scrimmage on both sides.
Both sides, really.
Yeah, and that's usually a bad sign if you're, you know, if in a game if you're the Patriots. If you're any team. If the other team has the edge on the line of scrimmage, you're usually in trouble. This week, I don't know.
We continue with your thoughts on the Patriots and this week's Cowboys game and all the stuff percolating today. Gronkowski yanking you around again. That's on the table. There's sort of percolating Antonio Brown stuff, which I just find it impossible to believe, but some people think there's a realistic chance of him coming back here. Like this year, like this is happening. That's on the table, and the continuing fallout of Brady's attitude. All that in our long commercial-free segment next.
Boston's home for sports. Filger and Mads, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Boston's home for sports. Filger and Mads, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We're 9-1. We're in a decent position. 9 wins doesn't get you anything in this league. And we got a very tough game coming up against Dallas. So we're just going to have to try to do the best we can do. And our defense is playing great. Our special teams unit's playing great. They're keeping us in every game. And offensively, I've said we got to take advantage when we get opportunities in short fields. And we had a few of those yesterday and really didn't. And those are the ones that probably frustrate me the most.
Okay, 9 games get you nothing. I get it. I understand that. So, Greg, again, resetting. Do the Patriots have a offense that's good enough to win the Super Bowl in their current position?
Depending on the matchup, no.
Depending on the matchup, no. So, like, for example, when you say, what do you mean? That? So, like, just give me an example.
A good offense that can score into the 20s against your defense, and that also has a defense that can...
Okay, so just help you out. Earlier you said in a rematch with Baltimore, you'd take the Ravens.
Correct.
Okay, let me tell you why I think and why maybe I had trouble with Maz before. Like, how are they going to lose? It's impossible to predict, but I think the offense is better than you're giving it credit for. And this, let me give you the Baltimore game, for example. You lost 37-20. The big swing play in that game that made it a blowout was the Edelman fumble, all right? If Edelman doesn't fumble and you go in there, you're giving yourself 7 points and taking 7 points off the board for them. And now you're in a 30-27 game. And I think that's what you are with Baltimore. And frankly, I was disappointed with your defense in that game. I think you underperformed. And I'd be stunned if you got rolled by the pistol again like you did in that game.
And I'd be stunned if the Ravens weren't ready for the hurry up and some of the things that the Patriots did in that game.
Okay, fair enough. So, I don't know. I think that game could be played in the low 20s, the mid 20s, the high 20s. I like your chances in a rematch. I'm not saying it's any cakewalk or anything. Or all I'm telling you is I think the offense was a Julian Edelman fumble away from putting up 27 on the board on the road in a tough spot, and going toe-to-toe with an offense that had a lot of success that day. That easily could have been a 30-27 game, if not for that Edelman fumble. So that's just, and those are impossible to predict. But I think the offense is capable of scoring in the high 20s. Maybe even when they play Kansas City, they're going to put 30 on the board here at Gillette.
Right.
They are. Mm-hmm. Kansas City defense blows.
Yeah.
And so I think they're good for 30 in that game. And depending on the night or the coaching, or you remember, home game, bye date, 2 weeks to prepare, all those things have to be factored in. I think the offense is categorically good enough not to carry the team, but to be the sidecar to the defense all the way to the championship.
That might be true because, the, you know, now I'm looking at Football Outsiders and their efficiencies, and I'm looking for teams that have a good balance, that have a pretty good offense and a pretty good defense. Now, I actually ruled out the 49ers because I don't think they're good enough offensively. Now, in a Super Bowl, giving Shanahan an extra week, they might be. He might be able to make them better. I think the Saints are really the only team that the Patriots would have a tough time against because I think they're good. They're good enough offensively and they're good enough defensively. I think Minnesota,
yes,
has a chance.
It's a fair with the way Cousins has played this year.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think that's about it. But I mean, and then Baltimore, and Baltimore's pushing it because they're third in efficiency and offense and they're 10th on defense, but I think they're getting better. I think when the Patriots played them, they weren't yet good defensively. I think they're getting better with each week, and I think they'll be defensively better the next time if they play.
They're definitely getting better on defense.
They're getting people healthy.
There's no two ways about it. They're getting better on defense. They've added Peters, and you know, say what you want about Houston, but the Texans can score. And they went in there and got shut out, basically. I mean, they got a garbage touchdown at the end, but they didn't score. So the Ravens are legit. There's, you know, where that game is critical. Critical.
So something that you said earlier, I just want to reset because I thought it was the most important thing you said today. In watching the coaching film or watching the All-22, the Patriots offense, well, one of my questions is Brady not using the people around him because he's just in this state, you know, and he's not trusting the offense and not trusting guys around him? Are there guys open and he's not looking for them? Hard to know unless you're looking at the All-22, the up top video, which you've started to, right? Or you?
Yeah, no, I've watched the offense.
Okay, are guys open?
No.
And specifically, you said N'Keal Harry has no burst.
N'Keal Harry on the outside, if it's one-on-one man press coverage, no, he's not getting any separation. Sanu, do you remember that third down play in the seam to Sanu? It was like third and nine, and they threw it, and that was a perfect summation of where the Patriots' offense is right now because Sanu got no separation. Even if he's bigger, he couldn't really do anything with it. That's a perfect summation about where the Patriots' offense is right now.
Okay,
there's no separation.
Okay, Sanu, I know, and I don't expect him to be a big breakaway guy. He's sort of a bigger, you know, positional sort of guy. I get it. N'Keal Harry as a 22-year-old rookie or whatever.
I was surprised by this too.
And should be fully healthy. Is that, you know, whatever, 3 months to get right, has no burst?
I didn't see much of it, and when I did watch him when he was on the field in person, I thought the same thing. The film backed that up. And then you also have the cases where there was one play in particular where Brady, I think, ended up getting sacked because of this. And there was a play with Sanu that also led to Brady getting sacked because the receivers didn't do what Brady wanted them to do. He looked at – Harry had press coverage on the outside, and Brady was staring him down, waiting for him to go down the field, and he was probably going to throw a back shoulder to him. And what did Harry do? He ran a hitch, thinking that it was zone coverage. It wasn't. It was man coverage. Brady was staring him down. All of a sudden, he flips back over. Nobody's open. I think he threw it into the ground.
Craig, did Harry have the burst in the preseason?
I thought that he did. You know, my recollection is that when I saw him on the field, he was pretty explosive. But that's not the player that I saw the other night. Maybe it's just because he's first game back, he's thinking his way through things, and he's playing slow. That could be it. But I'm just telling you, what showed on film the other day was nobody's going to be like, oh, well, we got to put a safety over the top of that guy.
Okay, that's the scariest thing you said to me today. Give me 2 minutes on the Cowboys here before you get out of here.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a really talented team, and if it wasn't for the Jason Garrett factor, I think you could say that the Cowboys are overall the better team, the more talented team. If, you know, now they have some injury issues. They need DeMarcus Lawrence. They need Collins, the right tackle. They need Amari Cooper. But, I mean, between Cooper, Gallup's really good, and then Randall Cobb, when he's healthy, he's a difference maker for this team. And I think the offense, one of their big problems this year has been no consistency in the offensive line. There's been a lot of injuries there. That's held up Zeke. I think defensively, you know, they can be had. So this will be another good measuring stick for the Patriots offense. I mean, I would say this is a middling defense. I was just trying to look at, they rank 20th on defense and efficiency. So this is a game that the Patriots are decent offensively. They should be able to put some points up. Will they be able to? We'll see.
They should be able to score this week.
They should.
I mean, poorly coached team that, you know, and you tell me, Greg, but I don't think they're great at corner. So to me, this you lose to them on the line. So I don't think you're going to be able to run the ball again, but you should be able to throw in this game.
One of the things that surprised me in Philly is that it didn't seem like Philly went to school with Baltimore or tried to duplicate anything that Baltimore did with running Wentz a little bit or running some of that stuff that seemed to give the Patriots troubles. Not that you can duplicate Lamar Jackson, obviously, but I don't know, just show that the Patriots can count. You know, if your quarterback runs, then now there's an extra gap in that whole thing, right? Like, creates that extra lane, and the Pats didn't defend that well against the Ravens, and the Eagles never really put them in that spot. Is Dallas in this? Who's the Moore? Who's the offensive coordinator?
Kellen Moore.
So this kid, offensive, is he equipped to go to school like that?
He is. He's more equipped than like the Eagles. I was just going to say this. That's the type of game and the approach that they had. That's where you see where they miss Frank Reich. Because Frank Reich used to be the guy behind the scenes that schemed all this up, game plans. They were great, and Doug Peterson just cannot keep up without Reich there.
So that's interesting that, you know, was Reich the brains behind the operation?
Yeah, that's what everybody in Philly thinks that.
So look, if I'm the Cowboys, I'm running Dak Prescott. And I'm not telling you that he's Lamar Jackson, but I'm running him, and I'm seeing if the Patriots corrected what they couldn't do against the Ravens. And if they corrected it, fine, then I'm not running him. But at least, you know, if the situation were reversed and the Patriots saw that on film, they'd say, well, you know, not that we can run Brady, but, you know, they would, whatever the weakness was that was exposed in that Baltimore game, they'd take it and use it and make that team prove that they fixed it. And I'm, you know, the Eagles didn't really do that to you. And so, you know, I'm just curious if Dallas is going to run Prescott or, you know, just something in the running game to duplicate what Baltimore did. You know, there's no guarantee there, but I just wonder if we're going to see it. That would be my question. But I don't think they have the brain power there. I don't. Dallas isn't that kind of team. Greg, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, guys.
We enjoyed the 2 hours.
See you, big boy.
Okay. See you next Tuesday, eh? We come back. Your reaction to, again, all this stuff. I promise we'll get to your phones. I also do just want to sort of push forward a little bit of the Brady topic. And, again, how he's carried himself and how he's feeling this year, and he's not happy. And so what does it mean? He's not happy. What does that mean? What's the import of that? What's the impact of that? I want to give you my thoughts on that in 90 seconds without commercial interruption. Just an update here quickly.